one of them there. So praise the Lord for that. That was beautifully done. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you filling in for me like that on such short notice. I'm kidding. That's a joke, friends, okay? Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. It's been a while since we've been in the book of Matthew, but the Old Testament book is finished, and I've not chosen another one yet. I believe I have, but I just want to make sure that it's okay with the Lord first. You know what I mean? So we're going to plow through the book of Matthew. We're approaching the end of it. I have no idea how long it'll take me to get through chapter 26, 27, and 28. We'll take our time through it. I'm enjoying our time through this as well. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.'" If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse 6. It's the phrase, "in the house of Simon the leper." In the house of Simon the leper. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you. Forgive our sins. Please forgive me if there's anything in my life that hinders you and that you're displeased with. Help me to be clean. And I pray as you've given me this message that you will give it to these people. Get me out of the way. Hide me behind the cross, and may these precious people not see or hear me, but may they see and hear you. Speak to us thoroughly. Speak to me. Help us to see these great thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ ended his Olivet discourse, we've already preached on it, you can go back and get it, he told his disciples that he would be betrayed to be crucified. We see this in the opening five verses of chapter 26. It's interesting that the chief priests, the scribes, and elders of the people in the opening five verses come to the high priest by the name of Caiaphas. And there the Bible says they consulted together how they might take the Lord in subtlety and kill him. Little did they know that their evil intent would only work for the good of the whole world, including you and including me tonight. Because they put him to death, it was already in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. They were carrying out, if you will, what God already knew would take place. And he died for your sin and for mine. And I'm telling you that even though they were trying to consult and be subtle all the way through it, all of this was in the hands of God. And what I'm saying to you is that we will consider the crucifixion later as we come to it. In our text tonight, we see the Lord Jesus arrives in a place called Bethany, where he goes into the house of Simon the leper. And before I get to the main thoughts tonight, let me say this and remind you of it, that leprosy was a terrible disease to have. As a matter of fact, there are people around the world today who still have this disease, but if you will, it's not as bad today as it was back in Bible days. Because, see, back in Bible days, this disease caused one to be separated from the rest of society. A leper was marked as being unclean and was commanded to keep his distance from other people. This man, no doubt about it, was one who others had shunned in his life. But we know that the Lord Jesus himself, even though others stayed away from lepers, that Jesus Christ came close to them. And the Bible says that he touched them and he healed them. As a matter of fact, it's common consensus and one that I agree with that this man here, this man named Simon who was a leper, was one of those that more than likely the Lord had touched him and healed him of this awful disease. What I'm saying to you is even though at one time others would avoid this man, the Son of God associated with him and spent time with him. And I've got my notes here, what a wonderful Savior he truly is. That if the whole world turns their back on you, Jesus Christ loves you and cares about you and wants to spend time with you. while the Lord was in the house of Simon the leper, there's a great event that takes place. And in this event, we can all glean some things for our own service. And as I looked at this passage and was studying this passage, it was like the Lord just brought out those three things took place in the house of a leper. And this being the case, I want to share with you three things that took place in the house of Simon the leper. Number one tonight, we see in that house, first of all, Mary anointed the Lord. She anointed the Lord. If you're keeping notes, the parallel passages of this is Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and then John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm giving that to you because we're going to be referring to those in just a few minutes. See, while the Lord was sitting at meat, He was there to eat, if you will, there came a woman, the Bible says, having an alabaster box of spikenard. You study what that spikenard is, and you'll find that it was a very precious and very costly ointment. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us those things. It's been said that spikenard was the most costly anointing oil then in existence that was used to anoint kings. In other words, the most expensive ointment that anybody could ever use on anybody at this time when this story took place was spikenard. And they would use spikenard to anoint kings, anoint royalty. And this being the case, this is what Mary's doing. It's interesting right here that a man put it this way, the strong scented ointment was imported at great cost and sold for a small fortune. Matter of fact, Judas Iscariot, who's identified as the spokesman of the disciples who are indignant against her in the book of John, Judas said that the amount that the Lord could have sold this for was for 300 pence, which has been said that that is equal to about a year's income for a rural worker back in this day. In other words, she had enough in money in that ointment alabaster box that if somebody, just somebody in the rural area took a year's worth of wages, it would only buy what she used to anoint the Lord. She broke the box, another expense. She didn't have to break the box. She could have took the lid off of it. But she broke it. That's another expense. And she poured this ointment on the Lord's head. Yet the book of John adds to this and tells us how this woman's name was a woman by the name of Mary. She was the sister of Lazarus. In John's account, we see that she also not only anointed his head, but she anointed his feet with this ointment, and she wiped his feet with her hair. By the way, a woman's glory back in the Bible days, a woman's glory was her hair. And she's taking her hair, and she's willingly humbling herself to wipe his feet with it. You say, Jody, what's the point? It's interesting that this same Mary is mentioned three times in God's Word. And all three times she is found at the feet of Jesus. And when you read about it, you find in Luke chapter 10 that she's found at His feet listening to His Word. She's found in John chapter 11 at His feet mourning over her brother's death. And she's found here in our text at His feet simply worshiping Him and adoring Him. Warren Wiersbe said this, she found at his feet her blessing. She brought to his feet her burden, and she gave at his feet her best. This is what this passage is all about. This dear woman loved the Lord so much that she came to his feet to worship and adore him and gift him with the very best that she had to offer. What she was doing is she was seizing her opportunity to do something for God. What she was doing in this gesture is she was giving God her all. She was showing that she had thoughts for nobody else in the room. Her thoughts only went to Jesus. See, she gladly spent all she had on Him. Spurgeon put it this way, and I quote, "She thus showed that there was at least one heart in the world that thought nothing was too good for her Lord, and that the best of the best ought to be given to Him." Somebody else put it this way: the essence of worshiping Christ is to regard Him with utmost love, utmost respect, and utmost devotion, and to be willing to sacrifice to Him what is most precious. See, before we go on, let me ask us all here tonight, including this preacher, how valuable is Jesus Christ to you? Have you given Him all you have? Is He worth more to you than any of your alabaster boxes full of ointment? Would you gladly take those boxes of ointment that mean so much to you and be willing to break them and pour it all out at the feet of Jesus Christ? Does He mean more to you than anything you have? Do you love Him more than anything else? One person put it this way: love never counts the cost. Love is always eager to give, and give unstingingly. See, the first thing we see taking place in the house of Simon the leper, in the house of a man that God had touched, we see a woman named Mary anointing him. She's giving him everything she has. She's showing him that he means more to her than any earthly possession, no matter how costly it may be. Secondly, in the house of Simon the leper, we not only see Mary anointed the Lord, but number two, we see Mary accused of waste. We see this in verses 8 and 9. Look at it. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Now, friends, listen to me. This is so important that you get this. The Word of God tells us when the disciples saw what Mary had done, the Bible says they had indignation against her. Look that word up. You know what it means? It means they were greatly displeased. They were saddened by this. And they began to accuse her to the Lord. The one that she had done this for, they began to accuse her to the Lord and said, "She has wasted this." Interesting. Mary's act of love seemed extravagant to them. They say how this, right here, how the sale of this ointment could have been enough to give to the poor. See, they're trying to spiritualize it. Hey, I'm a spiritual man. Hey, God, listen to me. This is a waste to give it to you because we could have sold it and we could have fed the poor with it. The book of John, the Lord rips it back for us and lets us see something. John tells us that the spokesman was Judas Iscariot. Would you trust anything he has to say? John's gospel goes on to say how Judas... Now, it's interesting. You can read it later. But in the book of John, this same story, it says this, that Judas didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but, I quote, because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. See, the Lord Jesus knew the wicked motive behind Judas. Judas was trying to say, hey, this is a waste. We could have sold this and given it to the poor, but the all-knowing eye of Jesus Christ knew his heart and said the reason he said this was not because he wanted to feed the poor, because he wanted to pad his own pocket. By the way, the Lord puts it right in front of us. By the way, God knows our motives too, friends. He knows yours and He knows mine. Spurgeon put it well as we're getting back to the main thought, that in the house of Simon the leper, Mary anointed the Lord. She's done a good work. She's telling God that He means more to her than anything on earth, no matter how much it cost. And yet the mighty disciples accuse her of wasting. Spurgeon put it this way, and he put it well. He said, and I quote, "When you do the best you can from the purest motives and your Lord accepts your service, do not expect that your brethren will approve of all your actions. If you do, you will be greatly disappointed. That which is employed in expressions of love to Christ by His sincere and devoted followers is often thought by others to be wasted and lost." Friends, what I'm telling you is if you give all you have to God, if you give all you have to Jesus Christ, you will be misunderstood. You will be at times possibly misrepresented, and potentially you could be accused of wasting your life. However, a man put it this way, and I like it. If a man once understands the sinfulness of sin and the mercy of Christ in dying for him, he will never think anything too good or too costly to give to Christ. He will fear wasting time, wasting talents, wasting money, wasting affections on the things of this world. He will not be afraid of wasting them on his Savior. He will fear going into extremes about business, money, politics, or pleasure, but he will not be afraid of doing too much for Christ. See, once you see your sinfulness and once you see what God has done for you if you're saved, you will not be concerned about wasting what you do for Christ. You will be concerned about wasting what you do in this world. These disciples were trying to say to this and about this lady, Jesus, listen, they're talking to God. They're talking to the one that she has gifted. They're talking to the one that she has done this good work on. And they're going to him and saying, Lord, this is nothing but a waste. A waste. They're accusing her. I'm telling you tonight, friends, that if you go all out for God, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to be on your side. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back. And not everybody's going to want to be like you. That's a shame, but that's the way it is. Those who give what they have to the Lord and worship Him from a sincere and sacrificial heart, are you listening to me? They're not wasting their life. Rather, those who do not give the Lord these things are wasting their life. Number one, in the house of Simon the leper, we see Mary anointed the Lord. She brings an alabaster box full of ointment. The Bible says very costly, precious ointment called spikenard. Pure nard is what it means. Nard that they used, and spikenard means pure nard. It was unadulterated. It was pure. She was bringing it to Jesus Christ. It was very costly. It would cost the average person about a year's worth of salary. And the mighty disciples are sitting back watching this as this dear woman of God comes again and gets at his feet and bows down and breaks the box, pours it over his head, pours it on his feet, and takes her hair and wipes it. And I'm telling you, she was misunderstood in it. She was misunderstood by those who should know better. She anointed the Lord. She was accused of waste. But number three, this is really the whole message. Really, when you think about it. We see Mary anointed the Lord. Mary accused of waste. And number three, Mary awarded by the Lord. We see this in verses 10 down through verse number 13. May I say this to you? It doesn't really matter what other human beings say about you. What really matters is what does God say? That's all that really matters. That being the case, let's let Jesus speak. You know, he had his way of shutting the disciples up. Did you know that? By the way, those disciples remind me of somebody. You know who it is? Me. What am I saying to you? He knows what to say, when to say, and how to say it. What did he say about all this? Look at verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. In other words, he's saying, hey, she did this by faith, boys. She's showing faith in me. She's believing the word of God here, that he's going to die like he said he would. Let me ask you a question. Did the disciples know all about it at this time? Had God had the Lord told him that he would be betrayed and die? Yes, but they didn't understand it. Mary did. Sidelight, can't prove it, you can't disprove it. Could it be because every time you hear about her, she's at his feet? Listening to him, wanting to be with him. So now when the disciples don't understand, this dear woman of God sees it. He goes on to say this, "Verily I say unto you," here's her reward, "wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial for her." Can I say something to you? That's an award, friends. What am I saying? We're left to our own imagination as to how these words of Judas Iscariot affected Mary. Matter of fact, the only closeness that we get to it is the Lord's question, "Why trouble ye the woman?" So she was troubled. But we don't know what all that means. Can you imagine that she's done this? She knows what she's done it for. She knows why she's done it. Her motive is pure because the Lord says it is. Her heart's right. She doesn't mean anything wrong here. She's just trying to tell the Lord how much he means to her. And the disciples are accusing her falsely. She's simply coming to offer her heartfelt, sincere praise and adoration. You know, it would have been terrible, honestly. It would have been terrible if the story ended with the words of Judas Iscariot. It would have been awful. But praise God, the story doesn't end there. It goes on. The Lord speaks. He's on center stage here, friends. He's the one being anointed. She's the one being accused for anointing him. And finally, he's had enough and he speaks. The Lord says, "Why are you troubling her?" I'm paraphrasing. "She hath done a good work on me." Mark tells us that the Lord used right here, "She hath done what she could." In other words, she's done what she could do for me. In other words, even though the disciples saw her act of worship as a waste, now get this, even though the disciples saw her act of worship as a waste, the Lord saw her devoted heart, and he commended her actions toward him. Even though she did not please the disciples, she did please the Lord. And I've got written right here, "This is really all that matters!" Exclamation point. The disciples rejected her worship of the Lord, but the Lord accepted it. John R. Rice put it this way, "It is good to be thrifty instead of wasteful, but the complete abandonment of all for Christ, which may seem like waste and shiftlessness, is the highest virtue in his sight." That's a powerful statement. See, the Lord went on to say, he said this, he said, "You've got the poor always with you, but you don't have me always with you." Now get this, he was not belittling feeding the poor, because all throughout the scripture he emphasizes, take care of the poor, take care of the widows, take care of the fatherless. He's not downplaying that, but here's what we learn from here, that there's a higher priority than any earthly ministry. Did you hear what I just said? There's something bigger than an earthly ministry. If your ministry is your God, you have missed it. What he's emphasizing here is not don't feed the poor, but don't neglect the worship of him in it. He's saying that worship given to me while you have the opportunity is so much more than trying to take the same thing and give it to a human being. See, earthly ministries are not to take the place of being at the feet of Christ and worshiping him in spirit and truth. For instance, we got all kinds of ministries going on, all kinds of them, and if I have anything to say about it, friends, I'm going to add to it and add to it until Jesus comes. But every one of those ministries, listen to me, without the worship of Christ, without the power of God, we are spinning our wheels. I'm saying, let's just take a ministry. Let's take one on the outside and one on the inside. Let's take soul winning. That's what this church is about. At least it's what it ought to be about. Take soul winning. Our soul winners, and listen, every Christian should be a, by the way, you are a soul winner. You may not be a good one, but you are one. When God saved you, He made you a witness. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, you can keep your mouth shut and be a ridiculous witness. Or you can tell others about Christ and be a pretty good one. But can I say this to you? Before you ever knock on a door, you ought to get on your face. So should I. So should I. God help our soul winners who are out trying to knock doors in their own strength. We must purposely take time to spend with Jesus Christ. Give Him everything we have. Let's come inside. Let's take a choir member. If a choir member gets in this choir without having a daily walk with God, they're a hypocrite. They are a hypocrite. How dare somebody get up here and try to bless somebody's heart to prepare them for the message of the Word of God, and you're not walking with God yourself? How dare I ever get behind this pulpit and that day I've not spent some time on my knees in prayer, in the Word of God, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, taking my box for that day and my ointment, everything I have, and breaking it fresh and new and pouring it all on Jesus Christ? What am I saying? I'm saying that he shared how she had done this deed in preparation for his burial. And because of this, her deed, because of all of this, he would make sure would be shared as a memorial of her wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world. This deed that others misunderstood and falsely accused, the Lord understood it. The Lord accepted it. And he included it in the pages of his word to the point that this deed is now known around the world. What an award that Jesus Christ had taken knowledge of it and had blessed it and had included it in the pages of the eternal Word of God. One person put it this way: the deeds and titles of many a king and emperor and general are as commonly forgotten as if written in the sand. But the grateful act of one humble Christian woman is recorded in 150 different languages and is known all over the globe. The praise of man is but for a few days. The praise of Christ endureth forever. The pathway to lasting honor is to honor Christ. Another person put it this way: do you want to live and die and be forgotten? Then live for yourself alone. But if you want to live on forever in the hearts of men and in the memory of Christ, give yourself in unselfish service to God and man. See, in this text, Jesus Christ steps off of the Mount of Olives, where we get the name of the Olivet Discourse, where he's giving all those thoughts about how he's coming back again, he's coming back again. And he steps into Bethany and he goes to the house of a leper. What a Savior, friends. He goes to the house of a leper, and while he's there eating, a woman named Mary comes into the room. She's holding a very costly alabaster box filled with the most costly ointment known to man during these days. She knows, no doubt in my mind, that this is the ointment that you anoint a king with. And she sees Jesus not just as a man, but she sees him as the King of Kings. And because of her heartfelt praise and who she is, she's trusted him as her Lord and Savior. He is hers and she is his. Her heart is bursting with inside of her. And she wants to take something that belongs to her, that means something. It costs money. It's a lot. It cost a lot of money. The Bible says it was very costly, very precious. And she takes it in his presence, in the presence of all those people. Her eyes are only on him and him alone. He is the sole object of her love and her devotion, and nothing is too big to pour out on him. She wants to show him that she loves him more than anything on earth. I mean, he is the apple of her eye. He is her God, and she's going to sacrifice to him, and she breaks it, pours it on his head, pours it on his feet, takes her hair and wipes it. I mean, the beautiful perfume just fills the room, and then all of a sudden Judas Iscariot steps up and says, "Lord, what a waste. What a waste. I mean, this is worth over, I mean, almost a year's worth away. We could take this and give it to the poor." Jesus Christ stares him right in the face. Can't you just see him looking at him and seeing his deceitful heart, that all he wanted was the money himself? And then all of a sudden he steps back and talks to the disciples, and he says this, "Why are you troubling this woman? She hath wrought a good work on me. She has simply done what she can. And she has done this in faith for my burial." And I'm telling every one of you disciples, if you don't like it, let me tell you how much I do. I'm going to make sure that wherever the word of God is preached, that this woman will be mentioned as a memorial for what she has done on me. I'm going to tell you something. At that time, maybe Mary could have been over here wondering about how the Lord would respond and all these kind of things. I mean, the disciples are against her. They're so displeased. Maybe the Lord would be, but can't you just see her eyes lifting up as she hears Jesus Christ speaking about her? And said, "I'm going to tell you something, boys. Maybe it displeases you, but it puts a smile on my face. And because it does, I'm going to make sure it's remembered." And tonight, his words are fulfilled at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I ask you these things as we're coming to a close, or I say these things to you. In the house of Simon the leper, we saw Mary anointed the Lord, accused of waste, and awarded by God. One person put it this way, and I quote, "So let us be full of good deeds, and although others criticize and ridicule, let us remember that Jesus understands and will reward us for our efforts." As we come to the end of this message, let me ask you these questions. Are you really doing what you can for Jesus Christ? Can I make this statement to you? Don't die with potential. Don't die with potential. Burn out for Jesus Christ. Number two, will what you are doing now live on forever? Or is what you're giving your life to going to burn up when the world burns up? Number three, is Christ worth more to you than any alabaster box full of very costly ointment in your life? Is there anything too much for you to give to God? I'm reminded of the story. I'm coming to a close. When I tell a story by memory, I may get a few of the details off, but anyway, you'll get the basic gist of it. The offering was being taken one night, one service. And there was a little boy that was watching the offering plate being passed around. He's watching some people put dollar bills in, and maybe he shouldn't have been watching, but he was curious. Watching some people putting change in, and he leaned over and talked to his mom and daddy and somebody in his family, and he said, "Mom and daddy," whichever one he talked to, he said, what is this all about?" And they said, "Well, honey, this is the offering. And this is our time to honor the Lord for how much He's given us. We want to give something back to Him. Caught His attention. The offering plate finally got to him. And that little boy did something that is still speaking volumes today. He took the offering plate and he got up and apparently put it in the aisle, put it down on the floor, took his little feet and stood right in the middle of it. Said, "I don't have any money, but I'll give him myself. I'll give him me." Let me ask you a question. What have you put in the offering plate? I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about your life. You know what we learned from Mary? Give it all, and He will be pleased. And He will bless your life so much more than you could bless it yourself. In the house of Simon the leper, an anointing, an accusation, an award. Don't you want Jesus to be pleased with you, friends? Then break your alabaster boxes and give it all to God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and your grace. Challenge us from your word. Please speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. We're not going to have any singing tonight. They're just going to play through softly. I want to ask you some questions. I never want to be guilty, never want to be guilty of letting a service come and go without giving people an opportunity to trust Christ if they've never been saved. So I ask you tonight, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ in Christ alone? Notice I did not ask, are you joining a church? Have you been baptized? No, I'm asking, have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If not, come let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Next question. Have you tonight say, Jody, I believe I can honestly say that I'm doing what I can. Now be very careful. Very careful. Everybody can do more. We understand that. What I'm asking is, are you attempting to do what you can for Jesus Christ? Have you said, Jody, I believe, if I know my heart, I am doing all I can do. Maybe you're not doing as much as you should, but you're doing all you can do. Be honest. If you believe that you're doing all you can, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Have you tonight say, Jody, God has my attention because I feel like there's an alabaster box in my life that's been holding me back. God is speaking to my heart about breaking that box and pouring it out at His feet and giving it all to Him. Listen, that doesn't mean it's something sinful, friends. It could be a good thing taking the place of the best thing. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about my alabaster box that I need to break. I know what it is, and I need to break it. I need to break it at the feet of Jesus because He's more precious to me than that. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest. God bless you. Thank you. Is what you're doing going to live on forever? Or are you giving your life to something that's going to burn up? I ask this final question. We'll have the invitation and we'll be done if nobody comes. Have you really, truly stepped completely into the offering plate? How many say, Jody, I need to get in the offering plate? It's a continuation of this question. I need to get into the offering plate. God is speaking to me. Be honest, if that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, that's me, I need to get an offering plate. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Help us to see the importance of breaking our alabaster box, pouring it out at the feet of Jesus, giving our life completely to you. Bless, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they play through right now, if God has spoken to your heart, right now, would you come? As they play through, come now. Would you do it? Now's your time. Ask the Lord to help you. Do His will in your life. Eyes are closed. We'll pray in just a moment. I said I'd ask you a final question. I ask you too, so forgive me for that. The Lord add His blessing to this message. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us, Lord, never to get blinded to the person of Jesus Christ. Help us to realize we have no ministry without the Lord. May we truly worship You, praise You, and adore You. Even when we're misunderstood, help us to keep going forward, breaking our alabaster boxes, pouring out very costly things at Your feet. May You help us with this, I pray. Keep Your hand upon this church. Help this church to be a church that worships You. Spirit and in truth. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. If you need to see me, I'll be up front. If not, we'll see you on Sunday. Try to bring somebody with you. Grab some of those bus flyers back there, please, and some of those sheets to take around to the area today, okay?